This hour of the Weekend Real Estate Report originally aired November 19th, 2017.
You're listening to the Weekend Real Estate Report on 105.7 The Fan.
You do a great job here giving the audience quite a bit of information. For a lot of guys like me, I'm sure a lot of females have certainly been enlightened and informed to help their life a little bit better. So keep up the good work.
Once again, Carl Delmont.
Hey, welcome back, Weekend Real Estate Report. Hey, if you're looking for some extra work done on a house and you want quality at an affordable price, check out our friend Ron Bowen over at Paint Doctor and Mr. Power Wash. So let's say you want your deck or your side of your house, your whole house, power washed. He's got a special right now, $199 for our deck to be power washed, and that's wood or composite. And that's just for our listeners. Also, if you want your house painted at paintdoctor.com, all he has a special down on that is for our listeners, $499. He will have a painter come out for 8 hours, and that includes prep, materials, everything. Or you could have two painters for 4 hours, same deal. And now if you want your whole house painted, of course, there's other specials there as well, but of course, it depends on the size of your house, everything else. Ron Bowen's been around forever, great guy, local guy, paintdoctor.com and Mr. Power Wash. Proud sponsor of a show and a great guy and great work. So check it out. All right. Did you know, check this out. We're talking about the economy and there's a lot of people who, analysts, I should say that, and they're people, but who are talking about the possibility of a recession coming sometime in 2018. And a lot of people are pointing to the yield curve. They're pointing to the correlation of stocks and bonds, a number of things that are going on, especially some global concerns with Bank of England, Europe, you know, the ECB, and others. Now, while the Fed keeps talking about raising rates, and of course, Trump appointed Jerome Powell to replace Janet Yellen, and there's some other things going on there. And, you know, with inflation, depending on which gauge you choose to follow, some will say that inflation is not a concern for the Fed. But in the real world, there are people who are seeing inflation, especially look at healthcare costs. That's a big thing right now. You can't turn on social media without someone talking about how their healthcare cost is now more than a mortgage payment, sometimes double their mortgage payment. I was reading an article the other day where someone said their health insurance cost in Virginia went up dramatically, went from like, I think, $1,280 a month to $2,400 a month, and their deductible went from $3,000 to $12,500. So when you think about that, you know, you're going to have to pay a lot of money just to hit the deductible before the insurance kicks in. Now, part of it is some states lost their carriers and Anthem and some other ones decided to stay. And because of that, you know, the risk associated with it. So a lot of people are mad at the insurance companies. A lot of people are mad at the current administration. A lot of people are angry with the former administration. But the bottom line is, you know, healthcare has shot up dramatically. If we want to look at inflation, I would say that would probably be the first one to look at. You know, energy costs could be another one. Food costs, obviously, another. And, you know, we'd be remiss if we didn't talk about college tuition as well, but, you know, and even pharmaceuticals. So no matter where we look, we're seeing costs go up. But we also talked about how, while we have, you know, pretty low unemployment, lowest we've had in, I believe, 17 years, I think we're at 4.2%, it doesn't mean that the economy is super healthy or robust. If you look at those numbers deep down, you're going to see that roughly 8 million people are working more than one job. We're also looking at consumer debt is now as high as it was right around the beginning of the crisis. Now, delinquencies on credit cards and others aren't where they were back then, but all that together sort of paints a picture that consumers are doing everything they can to try to make ends meet. You know, the old saying paycheck to paycheck. Well, now it's paycheck to paycheck with a little bit of credit card debt as part of your income. So in other words, hey, all my money went to my mortgage payment, all the money went to my car payment. How am I going to pay for my electric bill, my cable bill, and some of my food? Credit card. And what happens is if you're not paying that off each month, which obviously if you're using that, not for points, but because that's the only way you can afford your lifestyle, those things add up. But here's the interesting thing that's going on now. 6.3 million Americans are now 90 days late on their auto loans. That's a lot. And when you look at car cost, both used and new, that keeps going up. And what's happening is, in the heyday, like just several years ago when car dealers were coming out of that whole crisis, they started to become the banks. So now they're holding a lot of these car loans. Anyway, according to the New York Federal Reserve, 6.3 million Americans are 90 days late or more on their auto loan payments. That's up almost 500,000 from just last year. That's a big increase. Now, when someone gets so far behind, that's about an 8% increase. When someone gets so far behind on their payments, they typically end up losing their vehicle. So in 2011, the red flag, a red flag at that time, the unemployment rate had been falling. It was about 4.1%. So when we're looking at the lowest level since 2000 right now, we're actually 4.1% now, sorry. Anyway, delinquency rate on those loans has been steadily rising in 2011. And so as unemployment keeps falling, we're looking at, you know, are people making more money? I don't know that they are. So as more Americans get jobs and income coming in, it should be easier for them to pay the bills, but it's not. We're seeing an increase in that. So many people can't pay their car loans, have bad credit scores, typically lower than 620. And they don't have many options to get money to buy a new or used car. So they often end up getting a subprime auto loan, and that comes at interest rates somewhere in a 15 to 20%. The Fed also noticed a big difference between people who got their auto loan from a bank or credit union and those who get it from an auto finance lender. Those are the ones that say, hey, you know, money down, $99 a month or whatever. 9.7% of their loans are late 90 days or more, not far from delinquency rates during the days, the worst days of the Great Recession. So banks and credit unions are somewhere about 4 or 5% delinquent on their subprime auto loans. So this is causing some red flags. And again, a lot of people whose credit scores aren't good. And this is why, you know, we talked last week, we had the John Gonzalez, some Chesapeake Credit Consulting on, you know, the importance of having a good credit score. If you can get your credit score up, imagine, you know, what's an average car? $30,000? $30,000 at 3%, 2%, whatever the interest would be, versus 15%. That's huge. That's money in your pocket. Now, a lot of times things happen where you can't control your credit score. It could be a medical emergency, a bankruptcy, a divorce, whatever, job loss. But if you got yourself back together and you're working on things, this is how you have to make it work. You have to really focus on getting those credit scores up and watch who you deal with, because there's companies out there that just play games. They'll charge you money, dispute a couple things, show you the bill, your credit score, look, hey, your score went up. But that's only good for a short period of time. After the credit bureau lets the time lapse expire on that dispute, if you can't prove that what you're saying isn't accurate, it goes back to the way it really was, and your score goes right back to where it was. So you paid money for nothing. It's basically a smoke and mirror trick. Anyway, so it looks like lenders, in an effort to start moving car loans and help the economy, started getting looser and looser on their guidelines, and now it's coming back to haunt them. So this is something we have to keep an eye on. And it looks like right here, the average car loan is $30,000, according to Experian. So, and the average home loan is about $220,000, according to the National Association of Realtors. So right now, the larger financial sector may be muted, but there's 23 million consumers who hold subprime auto loans. They may find their credit reports further damaged after a default or an encounter, further difficulties to experience a car repossession. So think about that. 6.3 million Americans, if even 20% have their cars repossessed, how are they getting to work? How are they treating the economy, everything else? So there's some underlying factors here we really have to think about. And, you know, it gets a little bit concerning. A couple other things we want to talk about. So there's some new programs that they're not out. These are just an idea. So a company called the Rosen Group did a paper and a study on how maybe Fannie and FHA can turn around and maybe help some of these people out there. Now, we talked last week about the non-QM mortgage, and that's a mortgage where we run it through Fannie Mae's automated underwriting system. And if we get a refer or a couple of little nicks on it, then we have the ability to go and look at it and try to run it a manual underwrite to go through a non-QM product, which means we have a little more flexibility on looking at income and some other factors. So what this group's talking about is, you know, with baby boomers retiring and relying on Social Security and other things, and millennials entering the workforce but having huge student loan payments, in some cases equal to what a mortgage payment would be, how do we help some of these people become homeowners? Now, notwithstanding the fact that inventory versus supply is a huge conundrum, we have to get into that. Let's assume that, and here's what I think. I think that Congress should come in and they should somehow, and I'm not a big advocate of big government, but in this case, come in and sort of put out some kind of rule for the banks, where the banks are holding all these repossessed homes, foreclosed homes, short sales, whatever, that they can, in a very systematic and well thought out way, release more of a drip campaign, these homes into the market, rather than just say, oh, you know what, there's a tax break coming up, let's dump all these homes in the fourth quarter. And then all of a sudden you have this overabundance of supply. Now, granted, we have a lot of demand, but then all of a sudden the tides shift. But if they can do it in a gradual way, I think that can help the housing market. That being said, let's assume that housing, the supply side, moves up. On the demand side, let's hope that stays the same. In any event, they came up with a couple ideas. Now, one of them is a graduated payment mortgage. Now, this was around from 1974 to 2008. And how this works is it's a fixed rate mortgage, not adjustable. But what happens is you get a 30-year fixed rate. And what they do is Year one, your payment is subsidized a little bit. Year two, subsidized a little less. Year three, subsidized a little less. It's typically 3 to 5 years. Then it turns into a fully amortizing loan. Well, it's always a fully amortizing loan. I take that back. Anyway, it turns into a bigger payment. And what happens is on those payments, the idea behind it is as you're coming out of the workforce or entering the workforce, you know, in essence, you should see an increase in raises and all these other things. And eventually those higher payments will be affordable. So it's a way of sort of backing into the actual mortgage payment. There's no balloon or anything like that. It's just the way they figure it out. They're talking about bringing that back again. Now, another one is coming up with a tax-deferred savings account specifically for mortgages, kind of like a 401k. So that was another one they're talking about. And then the other one they talked about was a student loan type program where people who owe money on student loans could buy a house and actually add in the student loan balance and effectively amortize that over 30 years, which is longer than what they are now, and probably at a lower rate than what they are now. That one, they didn't go into detail. I tried looking up and I couldn't find information on it. But in that case, you know, let's say you have a student loan debt $60,000 and you're buying a house or say $200,000. In this instance, I'm assuming you're not putting a lot of money down. And is the government really going to lend $260,000 on a $200,000 house? I don't really see how that one's going to work. But anyway, we'll see. And then what if you sell the house in a few years? Who can buy it when, unless they're willing to switch that balance back to a student loan? So I had some questions on that one. But, you know, again, they're trying to get creative. Some of these ideas, you know, the graduated payment, I like that better than the adjustable rate mortgage because at least you know going in what your payments are going to be all 30 years. Whereas an adjustable, you're kind of subjected to whatever the economy is. So there's a couple things there that you have to really look at to see if they make the most sense. But, you know, when it comes to these programs, again, they're not out there now. They're just ideas that they're presenting. It's interesting to see that at least the government is looking at those other factors. So, you know, when it comes to buying a house, I think it's imperative that people, again, understand the difference between a pre-approval and a pre-qualification. So, again, a pre-qualification is you send in some information, they look at it, say, okay, yeah, here you go. You're pre-qualified to go buy a house. But there's a ton of caveats that go with it. A pre-approval means that an underwriter actually took the time to look at the file and underwrite it up to the point that we don't have a appraisal in, we don't have the home inspection in, and a couple other factors. But most of the work is done. And I will tell you, we do this, no additional charge, and we do it because we want our buyers to be able to present the best offer and hopefully get the deal. And we've talked to a number of realtors who they're floored. They can't believe when they submit their offer, even if someone offers a tiny bit more, they get it simply because our client has the pre-approval. And also because it's kind of nice to have a lender that has a great reputation. It's local. I can tell you this, you know, if you go with an out-of-state lender, online lender, whatever, you know, caveat them to our buyer beware, because there are a lot of times that realtors and sellers are going to say, wait a minute, I don't feel comfortable accepting this. Yeah, it's the price we want, but what if the deal drags out? What if they turn it down? Whatever. Do we really want to take that risk? Whereas dealing with someone who's been around a long time, 25 years next month, and is local and everything else, we don't charge an application fee, and we also give a free home warranty, and we assign a whole team to your account. So when you call us and you talk to a loan officer, there's a whole team of processors, underwriters, everything behind that, start to finish. And I think that's why we're getting so many great testimonials and we're growing. By the way, if you're a loan officer looking for a better opportunity, you can apply in confidence at info@friedmont.com. Happy to talk to you. And again, in confidence. Hey, if your kids play soccer and maybe you're on a team and maybe the team's disbanding or you don't really happy with the direction it's going, Celtic, one of the best soccer clubs in the country, 4 years old with 4 national championships. But we have a lot of teams joining us, and they're not looking for national championships. They're just looking for better development and a better philosophy. Well, we're holding supplemental tryouts at Baltimore Celtic. So if you're interested, check out the Celtic website or the Celtic Facebook page, baltimoreceltic.com. And again, 4 national titles. Our 05 boys team just became number one in the country. Our 2000s are number one in the country. And we have a number of other teams that are top, you know, 2, 3, 4 in the state. And but we have a lot of other teams that, you know, aren't as highly ranked, but they're getting some great training. And the best part is we're like a family at Celtic. So what happens is if your child's on one team and doing very well, you can guest play for maybe a team that's playing at a higher league or in a higher tournament and get seen. And the path to college, so many of our kids are playing in college now or getting offers to go to college. So it's just a great program. I'm happy to be associated with it. Again, if you're interested in anyone for trying out supplemental, especially for girls, we're looking for 2,099 girls who want to play their either junior or senior year for a club team. We're doing a lot of college showcase tournaments, and we have a lot of college coaches asking to come see us, but we need a few more spots filled out. Anyway, BaltimoreCeltic.com. Check it out. We're going to take a break. We come back. Kiefer Mitchell.
The Weekend Real Estate Report will be right back on 105.7 The Fan.